Yes, otherwise we don't today. But this psalm is so personal. And it has to do, if you read it from the context of David is speaking to his soul or his mind. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David, the spirit man, David, is commanding his soul. Soul, I don't care what you're thinking about, but right now, you're going to bless the Lord. You're going to praise the Lord. And you're not going to talk me out of it. And so if you read that, where he starts to bless the Lord, O my soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, your thought life, the soulish realm. And this is a great lesson to learn for us, is that the spirit man has authority over the soul man. And I don't care about David, I'm a soul man. Well, we all have a soul, but we also have a spirit that's alive in Christ. So if you look at it from the provision and the position of authority that we have as believers, this can be really helpful if your mind is in a funky place. And he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Sometimes, I'm sure it's not just me, but sometimes my mind doesn't want to. Sometimes I like the thoughts I'm thinking. Sometimes they're not even pertaining to anything in my Christian faith. But I'm thinking about shoveling the driveway. I'm thinking about all kinds of stuff. Bringing in wood. But all the while, I know that my body knows what to do. It knows all those things to do. So those are good times for meditating on the Word. Sometimes I can be down here and cleaning up the yard, and I'm thinking about Scriptures, because it's nice and quiet down here. There's nobody messing with me, nobody calling me, nobody texting me. Not that that's a problem, but it's just a great time for me personally to think about the Word, to think about the Scriptures I'm going to bring for the day. And this is one of them. And then he repeats it, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He's even so wise in the spirit that he's telling his mind, you're not going to forget these things. Because it's the mind where forgetfulness comes, isn't it? So I never picked that up until just now, and I looked down and forget not. He's speaking to his soul still. Because that's the area that we forget. We never forget in the spirit, because the spirit never sleeps. Your spirit never sleeps. It's awake all the time. The body sleeps so that the mind can get some rest. But our spirit man is alive all the time. So this is really interesting. So once again, he reminds his soul, don't you forget this. Don't you forget all the benefits that you have because you're in me. And I'm speaking prophetically of the new covenant that I see in these scriptures. Excuse me. Forget not all his benefits. We talk about people that go looking for work or a job, and one of the things they want to know are, what are the benefits? What's in it for me? Here's some of the benefits that's in it for us. God says, I got it. The first one, who forgives. Notice this is written in the present. Now. Gosh, I'm in this building. The air is dry in here. Ah, but the word is wet. Who forgives? Three of our iniquities, if we came to Tuesday night and had Bible study. Does anybody say? What does it say?
All.
All? Did you get that back there in the back room? He forgives all? Thumbs up. That's precious. I shared as a testimony about the man who couldn't forgive himself. He didn't think that God could forgive him for what he had done. And he was going to kill himself that day. In fact, he had the horse tranquilizer in his pocket. Well, he didn't do it. Because the day came finally. I didn't know what else to tell him. And so we probably shared every forgiveness scripture that I knew or had remembered reading, and it wasn't getting through. And I was really troubled by that. So I asked, how could I reach him? And the Lord just quietly said, ask him if he wants me to create a new Jesus just for his special sin. You can use that maybe because you know people. And so I said, well, that's pretty far out there. But when we had our next meeting, the same issue. And I just looked him right in the face and I said, so what are you asking God to do? Do you want him to create a new Jesus just for your special sin? And he just broke. He just fell apart. And that day, he received his forgiveness. Because I think he's not alone. I think a lot of people think that. In the course of our faith, and all the people we talk with going through all kinds of things in their life, things they've done, things they would never tell anybody they did, and they don't feel that God can forgive them. Well, this is a wonderful scripture because, once again, if the enemy doesn't have your mind blocked to receiving it, like it was in his case, this is under the old covenant, but it's prophetic of the new. Forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. And when we have communion, that's the meal that heals. Because we're partaking of the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, there's healing. There's forgiveness. All these benefits that this talks about are in that meal, if you will, because we're feasting on Jesus. Who redeems our life from destruction. Now, Don and I oftentimes joke back and forth because we met each other when we were little kids. I was in a foster home, and it happened to be his aunt and uncle's house. And who redeems our life from destruction. Some of us lived very self-destructive lives. Our lifestyle wasn't the kind that builds you up, to say the least, was it, Faith? No. But unknown to us, of course, anything like this. But when we got saved, the very first times I started reading these, they were very meaningful. Who redeems? It's like there's, in redemption, there's not only a price that's paid to be redeemed, you know, there's a purchase, but there's a restoration that takes place. A restoration of what was damaged, what was broken, what was trash, what was wrecked. That's all brand new in us now. That's another aspect of the new covenant. When if you are in debt and you can't pay your debt and somebody redeems you out of your financial walls, there's a redemption in that. But we were all in that condition. And Jesus, God, redeemed us through the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. He saw value. He saw worth in each life. And that's why that personal testimony about how the man came and took care of a provision. You did. You know, they just come from unknown sources, but he's our source. And if we always remember that, yes, he uses people, but we're to look at the one who sent the vessel, aren't we? And so here, we look at the one who brought these promises to us. We look to the Lord because all these things came from him. So if you ever wonder if he cares, he does. But you don't have to take my word for it. Cover to cover, he does. Amen. We're just in a little snippet. He redeems our life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, some of us, we learned because we, Faith and I, got born again into a Pentecostal experience. I mean, it was immediate. We were born again into that. So we've always known we were the King's kids, because they don't teach that in many churches. They don't want anybody getting a big head. Your crown will be too tight, you know. But it's true. We're the King's kids, and we talked about the five crowns for the believers. So I keep one there to remind me of that teaching. But to crown you is to me, it's like God's mark of royalty. An outward expression of the royalty. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I'll go for the peculiar part, you know, too, because I'm left-handed. I do a lot of things different than a lot of other people do in that aspect. But the good thing is, people who are left-handed are always in their right minds, I've heard. It's probably one of those old wives' fables that scriptures tell us to avoid. I don't know. But I get so many places you can come to in the Word that really speaks of your life or your situation in just a few verses. And our opening scripture is going to be like that as well, because we're still going to do that. Who crowns you with loving kindness. Some of us didn't grow up with that in our households, and we didn't know anyone who loved us in this regard. A loving kindness. There's a gentleness, there's a tenderness, there's an all nurturing care behind that kind of love for your whole being, spirit, soul, and body. It's beyond emotions. It's beyond feelings to know that God loves us like that. And so loving kindness and tender mercies. It's one thing to show mercy. And we talk sometimes in Bible study about motives, attitudes. We're to show mercy to others because God not only showed us mercy, but He put mercy in us. And if we go around based on our feelings, sometimes we'll show somebody mercy, quote unquote, because we have to, because the Word says so. Or the purity of the Spirit will show people mercy, because it's the God thing to do, it's the right thing to do. And we have it now to give others, to show them mercy. We didn't have that before. We got it from Him, and it's a keeper. And the more we extend mercy to others, the more those things come back to us. Did you ever notice that in your faith walk? The whatever your gifts, your talents, your skills, or your call is, the more you give that out, the more comes back. And we don't give to get, but we get because we do give. It's kind of, you can't outgive the Lord. And this part I really like. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Don't you just want to rise up and flap your wings sometimes and get above all the crud, all the stuff going on, and just take a little trip and float around someplace. Not like an out-of-body experience. I'd want my body, just as a testimony, to be flying around. But restored my youth. The years that I got into some bad, unhealthy lifestyles, I was in my early 20s to early 30s, the prime of life. And boy, did I put this earth through the test. And I don't know what you're supposed to feel like at the age of 78. I'll be 79 in May, and I still, in my body, I feel like a young man. It's like all that strength, all of that has been renewed. My strength is renewed, my energy. I don't get burned out, and I come here, and people say, oh, I just saw one of the local pastors the other day, and he asked me the same question at the post office. He says, well, I know you've been down to that church down there a long time. Don't you ever get burned out? I says, I says, gosh, no, I come down here and I get burned up. And he didn't even have a clue what I was talking about. We don't get burned out. We get burned up. All the chaff goes away and that new you in Christ starts to shine and the flesh fades away and all of its stuff that's so contrary to the Spirit. But there's such a renewal. And these are scriptures for the 30, all the years since Faith and I got saved were some of the very early ones we started learning. And we learned about the power of speaking them over your life and into your life, no matter what it looks like. We can't deny circumstances, but you know what? Faith changes circumstances. But you got to speak to them and be consistent about it. And you know what? I was doing some work in our house, and I told you I hadn't come to the place yet where I could say praise the Lord if I smash my thumb with a hammer. I says, I'm not there yet. And a bunch of people laughed at me like they're there, and I'm not. So, well, I dropped that hammer on my bare big toe one day putting some new window trim around one of our windows. And that hammer fell from this height, and it landed, bam, right on my big toe and that big toe knuckle. I didn't say praise the Lord, but I said, oh, Lord, thank you. I can bend my toe. It's not broken. And I said, that's a step up, man, for me. So I've graduated from the, I couldn't say praise the Lord, but in a moment, and it was a fraction of time, I could thank God. But this renewing my youth like the eagles, boy, you need to get a hold of that. Really do, because a lot of you are close to my age, so we can relate, you know, to some of these things that we talk about. And we are the younger generation's look-to people. We're that generation. There's never been another one like ours. It really hasn't. And then God is raising up a new generation after us. And one day, we'll be forgotten, you know, we'll be the dust of the earth and we'll be forgotten. But we have now. And so with communion, and even if we weren't, these are wonderful to come and refresh ourselves. It's a little glimpse, just a snippet, of how God sees us as individuals and his provision for each and every one of us and how much he loves us and how much he cares for us. So with that in mind, are you hungry? Let's do it.